Today, as we begin another program here on The More Abundant Life, I would like to welcome you. My name is Adrian Westney Jr. The More Abundant Life is a radio broadcast which features inspiring messages by Pastor Wintley Phipps. And today we have program number 182 in our series. The title today is Dare to Stand Alone. This message is one that was presented by Pastor Phipps to the Seabrook Church, and I do hope that you will stay with us for the message today. As usual, it's a very interesting title, and Pastor Phipps is sure to present some new perspectives as you listen to the message today. The title, Dare to Stand Alone. The message will begin after we hear some very special music. This is a song that's entitled Stand Up and Bless the Lord by Wintley Phipps.
Stand up and bless the Lord, ye people of His joys. Stand up and bless the Lord your God with heart and soul and voice. Stand up and bless the Lord, whose grace has made you whole, whose loving kindness knows no end. Oh, bless the Lord, my soul.
Bibles, I want you to turn with me to the book of 1 Kings. The book of 1 Kings, that's just before 2 Kings, chapter 18. And I want to read in your hearing, beginning with verse 19. Now therefore send and gather to me all Israel unto Mount Carmel, and the prophets of Baal 450, and the prophets of the groves 400, which eat at Jezebel's table. So Ahab sent unto all the children of Israel, and gathered the prophets together unto Mount Carmel. And Elijah came unto all the people and said, How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him. And the people answered him not a word. And the people answered him not a word. Then said Elijah unto the people, I, even I only, remain a prophet of the Lord. But Baal's prophets are 450 men. My message this morning, dare to stand alone. Dare to stand alone. King Ahab and his evil wife Jezebel had led God's people into the worship of pagan idols. Many of the prophets who lifted their voices in protest were ordered by Jezebel to be killed. The decree of God's prophet went throughout the land. As the Lord God of Israel liveth, there shall be neither dew nor rain for these years in Israel. And so it was. Not one drop of rain fell for 3 years. The streams dried up. There was no morning dew. Even the atmosphere seemed to choke and gag for some little measure of moisture in the air. Ahab sent his servant Obadiah out into the country looking for springs of water in order to save his cattle and horses. They were on the verge of starvation. And on the way, Obadiah encountered, he thought by chance, but in God's eyes, it's always on purpose. He encountered Elijah. Now, up to this time, no one had been able to find Elijah. God had kept Elijah hidden from his enemies. Someone said, "Hide me, thou great Jehovah."
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
And God will hide you from your enemies until their wrath is past.
All right.
And now here he is on his way to see Ahab and Jezebel.
Uh-huh.
And when Obadiah, the king's servant, saw Elijah, he couldn't believe his eyes. This prophet was a wanted man with a bounty on his head. And here he was walking out in the open. You see, you can do that when you know angels are with you.
Yes, sir.
You can do that when God says, okay, it's time for you to come out of hiding. Elijah said, Obadiah. Obadiah wanted to keep walking. Elijah said, Obadiah, it's me.
That's right.
Now go say to your master Ahab, Elijah is here.
Yes, sir.
All right. Obadiah's response to Elijah was one of consternation. He said to Elijah, "Have mercy on me. You want me to take you to Ahab? What sin have I committed that I should deserve such an opportunity? What a responsibility has been placed upon me. Elijah, if I report to the king that I've been in conversation or negotiation with you, surely I will be put to death." The Bible tells us that Obadiah feared the Lord greatly. In chapter 18, verse 4, the Bible says, when Jezebel cut off the prophets of the Lord, and listen to this, Obadiah took 100 prophets and hid them by 50 in a cave and fed them with bread and water. Some believe that Obadiah was running the first underground railroad. He had enough courage to rescue others, but he didn't want to be the one to go before Ahab and announce Elijah's arrival. He was probably afraid that Ahab might think that he was the one who had been hiding Elijah all along. "Don't do me any favors, Elijah," said Obadiah. "This fight is between you and Ahab. Leave me out of it." Elijah said to him, "As the Lord of hosts lives, before whom I stand, I am going to show myself to Ahab. Are you coming with me?" Obadiah finally went before the king and told him that Elijah was here to see him. And when he was ushered in, Ahab said, "Is this you, Elijah?" And I love this term, "troubler of Israel." "We have had nothing but trouble since you cursed the land with your prophecy of famine. Elijah, this kingdom has suffered greatly because of you and your prophecy. For 3 years, we have had no harvests, no crops. Our trade deficits have gone through the roof. Our green lawns are a ghastly brown. Our beautiful flowers no longer grow. Our forests have dried up. Our livestock is dying. Our priests are frustrated. Our people are angry. Their prayers have brought no rain. Everybody is upset, on edge. Even Jezebel and I are not getting along right now." Elijah said to Ahab, "I have not troubled Israel, but you and your father's house have forsaken the commandments of the Lord and you followed false gods." Elijah said, "Gather to me all Israel at Mount Carmel together, the 450 prophets of Baal, the 400 prophets of the Asherah who eat at Jezebel's table. We'll have a showdown between our two gods." Showdown at Mount Carmel. Ahab gathered up the prophets of Baal and commanded them to be present for this cosmic shootout between two dueling deities. Baal and Jehovah. When they gathered on Mount Carmel, everything humanly possible was stacked in Baal's favor. Are you with me today? The false god Baal had 450 prophets representing him. Elijah stood alone representing the Lord. Elijah came unto all the people, said, "How long halt ye between two opinions? If the Lord be God, follow him. But if Baal, then follow him." The people answered him, the Bible says, not a word. Now, you know, this was a moment of decision, and the people said, not a word. What a sad commentary. Servant of the Lord says to stand up in defense of truth when the majority forsake you. To fight the battles of the Lord when champions are few. This will be our test. If ever there was an opportunity for a heathen deity to show its head, it was that day on Mount Carmel. Amen. You see, mountains and hills like Carmel were supposed to be places where the false god Baal lived. See, the God of Jehovah lives in glory. He lives in the heavens. The mountains and the hills were where Baal was supposed to live. So they're in Baal's territory, supposedly on Mount Carmel. This God with a little G, I call him, was supposed to be the God who carried lightning in his hands. That's what Baal was supposed to do. I said everything was supposed to be stacked in Baal's favor. If ever the stage was set for the God to appear, Carmel was it. Elijah said, "Go get me two young bulls. Let the prophets of Baal choose one for themselves. I'll take the other one. Let them build an altar, then kill the young bull, cut it in pieces, lay it on the wood, but don't light the fire.
That's right.
And I'll do the same. I'll go and repair the altar of the Lord. Kill my bull, cut it into pieces, lay it on the wood. I won't light the fire. You prophets of Baal, pray to your God. I'll pray to mine.
All right. Yes, sir.
Call ye on the name of your gods.
Yeah.
I'll call on the name of my God. And the God that answers by fire,
yes, sir,
let him be God."
Yeah.
Right. Ahab must have thought, surely the priests of Baal are not going to have any trouble bringing down fire from heaven.
Yes, sir.
He must have thought this is a contest tailor-made for the priest of Baal. You see, whenever a storm had come through before the famine and before the rains had shut up, whenever it thundered, the people would say, "That's Baal."
Yes, sir.
When are you with me today?
Yeah.
When lightning would flash across the sky, the people would say, "There goes Baal doing his thing." And this God with the little G was known as the Lord of the fire in the sky. That's why Elijah said, "Who answers by fire?" Because Baal was supposed to be the God of fire in the sky. Well, brothers and sisters, Elijah said to the prophets of Baal, "Since there are so many of you, you go first." Now, I've watched quite a few Super Bowls in my time, and I've never seen at a Super Bowl the one who won the coin toss elect to kick.
That's right.
He always wants to receive. Wants to make the first yard. He wants the first chance to score. Elijah said, no, you go first. Choose one of the bulls. Kill it. Lay on the wood. The priests of Baal chose one of the bulls, prepared it, did what Elijah asked them, and they had come out. They were dressed to kill. They had on their expensive priestly garments, and some of the historians tell us that they had pieces of bright, shining metal all over their garments, designed to catch the rays of the sun and reflect it back to the altar. They wanted some fire. They figured with all that reflecting sunlight, something was going to come on fire. They prayed to Baal, "Oh Baal, send down the fire," but nothing happened. They danced, jumped around their altar, nothing happened. They called on the name of Baal from morning till noon, saying, "Oh Baal, answer us." Nobody answered. And they leaped about the altar, no fire. And around lunchtime, Elijah couldn't contain his, what I call, righteous sarcasm.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
The Bible says it came about at noon that Elijah, and I love the way the Old English puts it. It says Elijah mocked them.
Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Yes, sir.
Go on, call out a little louder. Either your God is occupied or gone aside or is on a journey. Perhaps he is asleep, needs to be wakened. Maybe you need to shout a little louder, a little righteous sarcasm. Maybe your God can't hear you. Maybe his hearing aid needs a new battery. I don't know, said Elijah. Maybe he's meditating. Why don't you page him? Leave a message on his voicemail. Maybe he's just real busy right about now. Maybe he's on a long trip and his cell phone's out of range. Now he might be sleeping and you need to shout a little louder to wake him up. Maybe he had too much NyQuil last night. And then he might be on vacation. I don't know.
Yes, sir. Call a little bit loud. Yes, sir.
Those false prophets didn't like that one bit. The Bible says they shouted louder. They danced, jumped up, and began cutting themselves with knives and swords. Their blood was flowing. When midday was past, they danced and shouted until the time of the evening sacrifice. They danced till evening.
Mercy.
My, my, my. But there was no voice.
No.
Elijah then quietly repaired the altar of Yahweh. That's his name.
Yes.
He didn't use the same pagan altar.
All right.
No, he took 12 stones. Representing the 12 tribes of Israel, built an altar in the name of the Lord. He arranged the wood and the sacrifice. And then he did something that must have caught the attention of the people. The Bible says he soaked the wood and the sacrifice in water. By this act, he was saying, I have so much confidence in my God. I'm going to make it even more difficult for him to perform this miracle.
Mercy.
When my God answers by fire, everybody will know that he needs no physical advantage.
Yes, sir.
He needs no physical advantage to triumph over evil. And by that act, Elijah was saying, my God specializes in the impossible.
Yes,
Master, Lazarus is sick. Let's not go right now. Let's wait till things are at their worst so that God can get the glory. The three Hebrew boys, they just threw them into the fiery furnace. They said, no, wait till it gets 7 times hotter. That way I'll get the glory. And just when it seemed like there was no hope and hope started walking through the fire, Elijah said to the priest, fill 4 pitchers with water, pour it on the burnt offering on the wood. I'll show you that my God is an awesome God.
Yeah.
This day his name will be glorified. Wait, said Elijah, don't go yet. Bring more water. Soak it a second time. And they did it a second time. 4 more pitchers of water. Wait, said Elijah, do it again a third time. And they did it a third time. The water flowed around the altar, filled the trench around the sacrifice with water. And just when all hope of igniting the wood seemed totally lost, Elijah stepped forward, called on God. And listen to what he did. He pleaded with the covenant God of Israel to vindicate him. I want you to know there will be times in your life when you've done everything you know how to do. When you tried your best to do what's right.
Yes.
And still it would seem like trouble and trial will be coming in all over your head.
Oh, yes.
And the only prayer that you can pray is, God, you know I've tried to do my best.
Yes.
Will you vindicate me?
My Lord. Yes, sir.
Stand up for me.
Yes.
Elijah bowed his head, prayed a simple prayer. Oh, Lord, the God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, today let it be known that you are the God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and I've done all these things at your word. Answer me, O Lord. Answer me that this people may know that you, O Lord, are God, and that you've turned their heart back again. And in Jeremiah 33:3, this is one of the verses that led me to this message today. God says, call on to me, and I will answer thee. You look it up in your Bible, and you need to keep this text. Jeremiah 33, verse 3. Call unto me, and I will answer thee, and show thee great and mighty things, which thou knowest not. Brothers and sisters, the Bible tells us that suddenly the fire of the Lord fell. Can you imagine that? Can you imagine just out of heaven seeing fire? Just like it did with Abel. Whew! Consuming the wood, the stones, the dust, the water. My God's fire is hot. It'll consume everything. The dust, the stones, the sacrifice, the water. When the people saw it, they fell on their faces and they said in unison, "The Lord, He is God."
Yes, He is.
The Lord, He is God.
Yes, sir.
Brothers and sisters, the Lord is a great God. I said He's a great God.
Yes.
He's never lost a battle. His power knows no limit. His strength never wavers. He is a great God. His power is supreme. I call Him the supreme monarch of the universe. He's a great God. For Him, there is no challenge that is impossible. How could any one of those Israelites on the top of Mount Carmel who saw that fire licking up the water and the stones and everything ever again doubt that the Lord can do great and mighty things? God delights in answers that are beyond our expectations. I said He is a great God. Jeremiah says in chapter 32, verse 27, "Behold, God says, I am the Lord. I am the Lord, the God of all flesh. Is there anything too hard for me?" Before God can show us great and mighty things, we need to make a decision, however. The same decision Elijah made. You got to dare to stand alone. You see, our problem today is that we really don't know what it's like to really be alone. You think about it, we're never really quiet. How much quiet time do we really have in life? We're never alone. As a matter of fact, we're afraid to be alone. You know, when you're in the house by yourself, you put on an alarm.
Well,
even when you don't have one, you try to put something on. You know what I'm talking about. We're afraid to be alone. To be alone for many of us is like being imprisoned in a hall of mirrors where we have no one but ourselves to hear our song. We realize that we want to be, but we know what we want to be, but we know what we are, and we don't like facing who we are when we're by ourselves. We're afraid of our aloneness. We prefer to be where the action is because we can lose ourselves in the crowd. We never get the noise of the world too far of our reach. Those who stand for Christ, however, must be prepared to stand alone. Courage is never to let your actions be influenced by your fears. We as human beings have a craving for the fellowship of beloved community. That's why we come to church. Amen. And it is true that man was not made to stand alone. He was made for fellowship. We need the society of our brethren. Listen to me today. In our religion, more than anywhere else, we feel the necessity of breaking down the isolation. Our religion helps us to break down the feeling of isolation. When you come to church, you're among brothers and sisters, and that breaks down your feeling of isolation. And as you turn your face towards the challenge of the ultimate mysteries of life, you find, however, that you are always by yourself. I said you are by yourself. You,
you're going out of here by yourself. When you face the ultimate mysteries of life, help me, Jesus. But too many people are following the crowd. It isn't always safe to follow the crowd. It took courage for Noah to stand alone. It took courage for Elijah to stand alone. It took courage for Martin Luther to stand alone. That day, Martin Luther's words rang out clear and strong. He said, I cannot and I will not retract. Here I stand, I can do no other. When you feel convicted that you've heard the voice of God, you got to obey God's voice without question. If you have to stand alone and nobody will be your friend, stand alone. And let God be your friend. You may have to enter into fellowship with your Lord. Someone said he walked a lonesome valley. And he trod the winepress alone. What kind of religion is dependent upon the friendship of man? If you've got a religion that is dependent upon the friendship of man, you've got a weak religion. What kind of religion is that which won't help you stand when you must stand alone? Someone said, you're gonna die alone. You might as well learn to stand alone. Your family can go with you to the river's edge. They can go with you to the river's brink, but into the chilly stream called Jordan, they can't go with you. Do you have a faith that will sustain you in the solicitudes of life?
Well, that's all the time that we have for today's message. I do want to thank Pastor Phipps for the message, and I do hope that it's been a blessing to you and that you've understood the message for today. Dare to stand alone. This is program number 182 in our series, and if you would like to obtain a copy of today's title, I invite you to call the Seabrook Church Office. The phone number there is 301-577-6342. The phone number again is 301-577-6342. And you will want to refer today to program number 182. That's program number 182. Also, if you would like to visit the Seabrook Church in person, if you are in the Washington, D.C. area, the address for the Seabrook Church is 8900 Good Luck Road in Lanham, Maryland. Worship services are held each Saturday morning at 8:15 a.m. and 11 a.m. Well, until next time, my name is Adrian Westney Jr. As always, I'd like to wish you God's richest blessings for the week. I do hope that you will join us for another program, but until you can, please remember the words written in John chapter 10, verse 10, where Jesus said, I came that you might have life, and that life might be the more abundant life.
Give what's in your heart.